you would not bend.
And they stood true.
When there was nothing left to do,
they held their ground.
When no earthly help was found,
they knew the Lord,
and they depended on His word.
When there was nothing left to do,
they looked to God, and they stood true.
Stephen stood for Jesus, and he boldly preached the word. All the scoffing Pharisees despised the truth they heard. They stoned the fearless preacher as he lifted up his arms. Then Jesus stood to welcome him
at the Father's side.
They stood true.
When there was nothing left to do,
they held their ground.
When no earthly help was found,
They knew the Lord,
and they depended on His word.
When there was nothing left to do,
they looked to God, and they stood true.
When there was nothing left to do, and no rescue was in view,
when the world said they were through, they looked to God, and they stood true. They stood true.
Say it's outdated and too hard to read. Others may claim it just can't be believed. Some have even said that its contents aren't true, that its message isn't relevant for me and for you. But God said it's a light to my path in the dark. It's a sword of the Spirit in the armor of God. It's pure, it's holy, and respect it's demanding. So on this book I'm still standing.
I'm still standing on the word that's true. I'm still believing it through and through. From the book of beginnings to God's revelation, it's all God's word and not man's speculation.
Heaven and
earth, they may all pass away, but this old book is still abiding today. God's holy word I will never abandon. I'm still...
Thank you.
Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you work in our life. Lord, I thank you for our visiting pastor that's here today. Lord, we can't wait to hear what you've had him prepared. And Lord, we ask that you be with the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 385. 385. The Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a rock undoubted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal and their glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering forth of the works of man. Its truth by none, every one refuted and destroyed, never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever pass away. By inspiration it has been given, and its precepts I will obey. Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Amen. You may be seated and turn to 362. Christ arose.
Jesus, my Savior, waiting a coming day. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus Jesus, my Savior. Namely, they sealed the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Thank you for your singing.
Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Died on the cross for us, was buried, and the third day he rose again. Praise the Lord. Well, so good to have you. So glad to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Been looking forward to today for a long time with Brother Chitty, but I'm glad you're here. And we'll have Brother Chitty this morning. He will be preaching for us tonight, and tonight will be more about his ministry with the Navajo Indians. He's been in Waterflow, New Mexico over 51 years, correct? And good man of God, have been faithful, and we're honored to have him today. We're going to honor the vets this morning. But in between this morning and tonight's service, there'll be a come-and-go wedding reception for Nathan and Katie. And I hope you'll come, and there'll be a money tree. You can put some money on there or a card. Not on the tree, but give them a card and just encourage them. They did things right. Very proud of them. They want to serve the Lord. And so we want to encourage them. And it's not just giving two people permission to live together. They established a Christian home, or God did. And the Bible says, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So the preacher really didn't put them together. God did. And we're so thankful for that. And Rebecca and John got married yesterday, and we're proud of them also. So, but that'll be this afternoon, then 6 o'clock, the service tonight. And then Wednesday night, back in God's house, we've ordered some new flags, our brother Gore did, and they were supposed to have been here last month. But we got a Baptist flag coming and looking forward to that. But we're still in our series, Why We're a Baptist. Then Saturday, next two Saturdays, hope you'll come and go with us. We got a lot of flyers out yesterday. We still have a lot of areas to cover. So if you can come go with us at 10 o'clock the next two Saturdays to pass out flyers for our VBS, we would really appreciate that. Then July 27th, 28th, 29th is our VBS. And looking forward to that. Three guys from Heartland, they've been doing this all summer, and they'll do most of the Bible school. We'll still have our penny offering and other things, but looking forward to that. Then the sportsmanship clinic's coming up, and then YouthCon, and I hope you'll pray with that about that. On the back, Brother Heston's in the hospital. Eugene needs our prayers for recovery. Sherry Shamborn's having problems with complications on her back. Jordan had surgery, and we talked to my cousin's wife this week. She called us, and she's not expected to live too long. But she's saved, praise the Lord. So I hope you'll remember these in prayer. So good to have Brother Chitty with us, and a great man of God, and done a great work, been faithful. He loves our country, but he loves the Lord, and I'm so glad. And so it's good to have him. I told him that for the veterans, we're going to give out NIVs. And he just looked at me like, well, preacher, you can do anything you want to do. It's your church. But he kind of said, I'm not going to bless that. Anyway, but I'm like, it's okay. But I sure appreciate Brother Chitty. And so after I pray, you come and give us the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we certainly love you and thankful for what you've done for us. God, thank you for today, for the opportunity and privilege to meet in a free country and to preach and to read the Word of God and give out the gospel, hand out tracts. God, thank you for our military. God, thank you for our veterans. And God, thank you for the sacrifice that they made to protect our freedoms and to protect our country. But God, thank you for loving us enough to give us the hope of eternal life. And thank you for what you've done and how you've blessed America. I pray that you might just bless this morning everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, preacher. We got plenty of time. Man. And I want you to find two verses, Psalm 37 and Proverbs 15. In both of those places, it'd be verse 16. Find those if you would, please. It's for my first time ever being here. I've known of your pastor's dad and him I've known. I'd known him and Sarah since Moby Dick was a minnow. But anyway, let me say this before I get started today. I was married, had kids, and fought a war before I ever got saved. And I'd go to church, and I'd watch people look like they was born at night and winged on a dill pickle. Then the preacher be up preaching and get that old Baptist salute. And I made my mind up that when I go to church, I won't have fun. I'm sorry. That's the way life is, all right? And when I'm in a new place, I will try to say something corny and funny. And that's not for you. That's to relax me so I can do a good job for you, okay? So make sure you understand that. Many, many years ago, this young man had been praying for a wife. And and her daddy was not praying. Never mind. And he said, "Lord, I apologize to you." He said, "I've always asked for a certain size woman, a certain color hair, everything, Lord." And he said, "I apologize for that." He said, "Lord, you can pick better than I can pick. I'd be better off with what you give me, God, than what I want." And living proof, I rest my case. But anyway, and he said, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church this morning. I'm going to be the first one there, and I'm sitting on the second row in one." He said, "Lord, I'm going to sit there and pray. And God, whoever you put in my life, I will accept that." He sat in there, and he seemed like he sat there for a long, long time. And a little while later, this knock-down, drag-out, beautiful woman came in, sat right beside him. His toenails curled. His heart beat so bad, he thought he was going to have a heart attack. And she said, "Are you a member of this church?" And he said, "Yes. And she said, "Well, please don't laugh at me. You know everybody here." She said, "I'm looking for a husband." His heart stopped then. she was so good looking, it was unbelievable. And she said, "Please don't laugh at me, but I'm looking for a husband, but I'm wanting somebody that's part Native American, in other words, an Indian. But I'm also looking for someone that's part of God's heritage. I'm looking for somebody that's part Jew. Do you understand that?" He said, "Oh, yes, ma'am." And she said, "But also watch this." She said, "I've always wanted a Southern boy." She said, don't laugh. Is that okay with you? Here's who I'm looking for. Maybe you can point them out to me. By the way, what is your name?" He said, "My name is Geronimo Goldstein, but you can call me Bubba." Amen. You might as well laugh because I'm going to have fun whether you like it or not. Amen. Let me just say this to start with today. When you get saved late in life, you take things differently. By the way, I was born and raised in the Bible Belt of the South. Nobody ever invited me to come to their Sunday school class. Nobody ever invited me to come to their church. Nobody ever invited me to ride their church bus to church. Nobody ever even asked me to go to heaven. They told me to go to other places many times, but and I just had never been around anything like that. And that's why I love church so much. Some things us old people say that you young guys get mad. Do you realize if you had a heart attack and it wasn't your fault and they put you in the hospital and you had to miss church today, are you listening? It would still hurt you to miss church. Even though it's not your fault. It's just, that's how important church is. But I found out in getting saved in late years, boy, I'll tell you more about this in the second service, but I had never seen the inside of a church, and I was 22 years old. I had never seen a Bible. So I didn't know. Somebody said, I'll give you $1 million if you find John 3:16. I'd still be just as broke as I am right now. I'd never even heard of John 3:16, let alone being able to find it. And that's how I was raised. But anyway, I want to get to this. The first verse I ever read in a Bible was Genesis 1:1. But I didn't get it all. I just read the first phrase, in the beginning, God. Right. And I had to stop. Because my life had never began. I had nothing going for me. And it was all my fault. I believe this. I believe salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and getting saved is the beginning. I know it's new life. And I believe that until that happens in your life, you have no beginning. No beginning. And there's so much I want to say here, and I'm nervous because that clock keeps going. But I'm going to start. In Psalm 37, listen to this verse, please. Psalm 37 and verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Then I'm going to read one more in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. You can have all the money in the world and still be miserable. You can have all the money in the world and be wise with it, but you're going to still think, well, I wonder what the government's going to do to take it away from me and make me pay taxes on this. You're like, you know. But we all have a desire to do something really giant, big, for God, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you're not going to do anything big for God till you do little things for God. I'm sorry. I wish I had better news than that. We all know this, that little is much when God is in it. But there's another thing we need to add to that. God, well, let me say this. A little is much when God is in it, and he'll get in it when you give him what you got. Don't ever leave that second part out. Let me give you some illustrations real fast. Moses is wanted for murder in Egypt. And God is telling him to go back to Egypt. God, you called me to go to a lot of places. That's one I don't want to go back to. And he began to make excuses. You've read your Bible. I can't talk like that. And God asked Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, just a little rod. I recently, and you Sunday school teachers, listen to me, and you preachers, listen. I started making as many sermons out of the Bible as I can make on the rod. And I'm on number 20 right now. There's sermons after sermons just about the rod in the Bible. Did you realize it was placed in the ark? And you could go on and on and on about that. And he said, God, it's just a little rod. Look at me now. It was no more than just a little rod till he gave it to God. And then look what, in all their getting out of Egypt, the Exodus out of Egypt and all that, go back and look and see what God did with just a little rod. And it wasn't doing Moses any good unless he was old and crippled or herding sheep with it. It was just a little rod until he gave it to God. Why is that important? Because little is much when God is in it, and he'll get in it if you give him what you got. There was a little rod, then there was a little mite. Now you got to remember, us old people, we have the imagination of a child. We sleep like a baby. We wake up every 2 hours, have to go to the bathroom and crying. But anyway, there's just a thousand things that it reminds. We kids say I'm 4 and a half. Old people say I'm 78 and a half. Won't be long before I'll be 80. 2 years away, and you won't be long. Just 2 years away. And so my mind works sometimes like a kid because I'm old. Hello. Don't make fun of old people. You're going to get there one day and you reap what you sow. Yeah. And they had a church service and Jesus preached that night. And after the service, he got the disciples together and said, hey, guys, who gave the most money tonight? One said over here, oh, man, Jesus, I had this area. And there was a doctor over there. You won't believe what that doctor gave. And you said, no, that wasn't the one that gave the most. Another one over here said, over here, there was a lawyer. And I know he gave more than that daughter. You won't believe how much he gave. And they began one after one to be telling them who gave the most. And Jesus said, you're all wrong. The one that gave the most was that little widow woman. And they spoke up and said, Jesus, I don't know what they told you, but she just put in one little mite. A mite back in those days was 1/6 of a day's wage. And it was before they started paying you $20 an hour, by the way. 1/6 of a day's wage. And they said, she just put in a mite. And Jesus goes on to explain the little mite was all she had. I know you've never heard this before, but little is much when God is in it. And he'll get in it when you give him what you got. Did we find out a story in the Bible about the person that night that gave the most? Nope. Or the people that gave what they should have gave? Nope. But we know everything about a little widow woman who gave everything she had. It was just a little mite. Are you listening to me? It was just 1/6 of a day's wage, but it was big in God's eyes because it was little, but she gave it to the Lord. There was a little rod, there was a little mite, there was a little basket. Here's my imagination again. Mama, they stay on the second hill over. Mama, you know, we were talking about this other day, that man that they're talking about named Jesus. 2 hills over, he's going to be speaking today. Mom, I sure would like to go hear him and see if he's everything that people say is. Oh, son, she said, I'm afraid you get in trouble going there. And he kept begging. And Mama said, okay, son, I'll let you go over there. But first, let me make you a basket because I heard those Baptists are long-winded preachers. And I don't want you to be hungry. So she gave him a basket. You know the story, the fish and the bread, right? And away he went. He was sitting there on the grass field. Watch everybody else. And Jesus said, guys, he said, we got to feed these people. And they said, Lord, all we've got. And they named what they had. And that wouldn't be enough to buy bread for one person. And Andrew, that's why he's my favorite character in the Bible. He said, there's a lad here with the basket, a few fish and a little bit of bread. And he taught that little boy into giving everything he had to Jesus. What an amazing story in the Bible. I wonder how many people we've talked into giving everything to have to Jesus. And you know the story how he fed the 5,000 men, not counting the men and the women. And God told the disciples, said, gather up the remains, the fragments, whatever's left, you know, leftover, gather it all up. And he wound up with 12 basketfuls. Now, here's what my imagination sees. A mama walking back and forth and back and forth. Oh, I wonder if he's in trouble. I wonder if he got hurt. Oh, God, let my son come home okay. Please put a shell about him to keep him from all harm and all sin. Oh, God, please. And she just walks and looks, and she walks over again and looks. And she looked one time, and there he came. But there's 12 grown men with him. I wonder what he has done. And he gets there, hey, mama. And she said, sirs, what did he do? Mom, it's okay. What he did was he took the little that he had and gave every bit of it to Jesus. And the reward of that is now we brought you 12 more back. You got more baskets than you had before, and you got more food than you had before. Why? Because little is much when God is in it, and he'll get in it when you give him what you got. Amen. There was a little rod, there was a little mite, there was a little carrying, there was a little a basket. Now there was a little boy named David, and he killed the giant. Everybody knows that story, right? Now watch this carefully. That was just a little boy with a little sling and a little rock, and a dead giant. You still with me? Little is much when God is in it. And he'll get in it when you give him what you got. It may be you think little of yourself because, well, I'm just this, or I'm just that, or I'm a new Christian, or I'm a teenager, I'm just young. Quit making excuses and just give God what you got. Let me say this to you. Teenagers can get saved just like old people. Teenagers can serve God just like old people. Teenagers can read their Bible just like old people. They can give out a gospel tract just like anybody else. So quit thinking little of yourself and praise God that you got little, because you can give it to God. There was a little rod, there was a little mite, there was a little carrot, there was a little basket, there was a little boy, there was a little man. Did you not realize that the Apostle Paul, the Bible says he was a little of stature? You are aware of that, right? He was just a little Jew. He was a little man. You know what he said? By the way, he wrote 13 books of the Bible. How many did you write? The Bible said if we speak to warn people about heaven and hell, and they still die in their sin, that their blood will be on their own head. But if we don't speak to warn them, their blood will be on our hands. I believe the Bible, the King James Bible, is the inspired word of God. I even believe the commas. I even believe the maps in the back. And in that Bible, it says that Paul had said, no man's blood will be required on my hand. You know what that means? He witnessed to everybody he was supposed to. He gave a gospel tract to everybody he was supposed to. Look what he did. Now let's back up a minute. Here's a man like Moses that was a murderer. He murdered people, had people chained and bound and thrown in prison. But on the Damascus Road, glory to God, he met Jesus. And the people said, wait a minute, we're not listening to him preach. That's that man that used to kill us. At this point, he is blind. He has nothing. Watch this carefully. But he gave everything he had by giving his life to God. Little is much when God is in it. And he'll get in it if you'll give him what you got. There was a little rod, a little mite, a little carrying, a little basket, a little boy, a little man, a little belief. There are two times. One in the, when the guy was a demon possessed in the tombs, and another one when the man had a kid sick at home, and he come to Jesus, and Jesus made this comment. And I'm trying to leave some stuff out so I can hurry. They came to Jesus and said, "If thou believest," and both of them said this, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief." In other words, he said, I'm a little short. I'm a little short. I think we'd be better off admitting to God once in a while, "God, I feel like I'm he that's, oh ye of little faith. God, could you help me? God, I pray for more faith, more belief, and more trust. And where I'm short, oh God, help me." That's better off than acting like you're the greatest spirit Christian that ever lived. You're not. Get over yourself. You're not. You're not. And so here's what it was. One time, ladies, please don't get mad at this. I never asked my wife to marry me. We've been married 58 years. Not one time to ever asked her to marry me. I never gave her a wedding ring or engagement ring. I'm sorry. I love you, and I'm glad you're doing it right. I was lost. You don't have an excuse. I had an excuse. I was lost. I was in the Marine Corps. I called her one day and told her she was going to marry me. I didn't ask her. I said, "We're going to get married. I got a 20-day leave coming up. While I'm home, we're going to get married." And the dummy married me anyway. But anyway, so, I got to be careful. My wife tells me this. Every time I leave home to go somewhere and preach, she said, "You remember you're not home. Be careful what you say." And my boys, as they grew, they went to school with Sarah. And I wonder why one of them didn't get you instead of that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'd rather you be my daughter-in-law than my daughter. And I appreciate you being my daughter. I do. And I appreciate having granddaughters. Okay, I appreciate that. But I don't know where you found that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You deserve better. And the boys, as they grew, found out about the story about I just told you. And they was, I see them talking behind my back, doing different things. And it got close to Christmas time. And they said, "Dad, you got a minute?" "Sure." I thought they were trying to mess around with some girl before I was going to knock their heads off. But anyway, yeah. They said, "We have been saving to buy Mama a ring. And Dad, we're a little short on money." And I was so proud of them. I came up with it, what money they were short, and gave it to them. And they bought their mother a ring. Now watch this carefully. They meant well, but they were short. "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I want to do right, God, but I'm a little short. I'm a little short." I guarantee you, if you would be honest, you got a knot in your gut this morning about something. If you would be honest. Sir, your wife, I think, had a stroke. That's a knot in your gut. You don't know what's going to happen next. So I heard you this morning pray for her. And then we doubt whether she's going to be all right or not. So what we have to do is be honest with God about that. "Lord, I believe you can do anything. Oh, but God, help them, my unbelief. I'm running a little short, God. Could you help me?" You know what I believe? I believe that he will. Because little is much when God is in it, and he'll get in it if you give him what you got. Right. Amen. Amen. There was a little rod, a little mite, a little caring, a little basket. Well, let me talk about that little caring just a minute. I'm trying to decide. I got 52 of those, and I'm trying to figure out which one I want to leave out. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Do you remember that a man over here got hurt? By the way, he was half dead. That means he had a 50-50 chance of living or dying. Is that not true? Half is 50%. Hannah, I don't want to get involved in that. Ooh, crossed the other side of the road and went again. Then a preacher came along, a priest. That could hurt my church. If I brought that kind of person to my church, my people would want to fire me. Crossed the road, went on down. But a man came by, doctored him up, fixed up his wounds, put him on his own beast. When's the last time you put somebody in your new beautiful car and brought them to church? I don't want to dirty my car. I thought I'd buy a new car. But he put him on his own beast and brought him to the end. And he took care of him, and he must have been a businessman that traveled that way a lot because the people at the motel knew him. He said, I've got to go. But it does not matter how much it costs. You keep him here until he's totally well. And next time I come by here, I'll pay the bill. You know what? All that was just a little caring and little as much. When God is in it, and he'll get in it when we give him what we have. There was a little church in a place called Hampton, Florida. A couple miles away was a Marine that just came out of Vietnam, all blown away, shot up to pieces, who was a dope head and a drunk, who didn't care about nobody but himself. He knew how to cuss people out. He knew how to fight and go into a bar and stick his knife in somebody. But that little church is where I got saved. That little church is where God called me to preach. It was just a little church out in the country. It wasn't even a fourth the size of this auditorium, the whole building. But it was a little church. There was a little soul winner. I got saved on August 24th, 1970. The two men that came to our house and knocked on the door witnessed to us. One of them had cerebral palsy and was in a wheelchair. And he was a very small man because he never could go running and exercises and walking. So he was really frail looking, little old bitty man named Brother Mike. And you'll hear more about this in the next hour, but he was just a little soul winner that won me to Christ. Now, he didn't have much, couldn't even walk, had to live with his parents. Somebody would have to help him to the bathroom. Somebody had to dress him like a baby. He didn't have much. He never had a job, didn't have any money. He didn't have much. But he had the love of God. And he loved people and didn't want them to go to hell. And because of that, little that he had, he led me to Christ. The only thing he had was an ability to tell people about Jesus and willing to do it. A little soul winner. My phone rang one day. And I picked it up. And I thought somebody was pulling a prank on me. So I listened intently so I could recognize the voice. And I said, hello. And all of a sudden, a man is singing to me. And I'm thinking, what idiot is this? What idiot is this? And I was having a hard time, by the way. I was close to quitting on God. And he's singing. Now I listened to him to try to intently so I could pick up a voice, who's praying this prank? And the song, and I can't remember, it says, oh, Don Chitty, don't you quit. Don't you give up. Just keep on going for your Lord. And it was a whole song. It went over and over and over, on and on and on. And when he quit singing, he told me who he was. And I didn't know him. But he knew me. And that little bit of caring, I believe, that's why I'm still after it. Because I wanted just to give up and quit. I couldn't pay the bills. I'd been sued. I'd been sentenced to jail twice for 14 days for having a Christian school in a blue state. And I could go on and on and on and tell you all the problems I had. But that man was willing to be embarrassed. That's what hang up on him. We're not even embarrassed to have a door slammed in our face. But he had just a little bit of caring. Had a little bit of encouraging. And he shared that encouragement to be an encouragement to me. There was a little rod, a little mite, a little caring, a little basket, a little boy, a little man, a little belief, a little church, a little soul winner, a little encouraging, but a big God. Amen. Little is much when God is in it. And he'll get in it when you give him what you got. I'm dumb as a stump. If I've got anything, it came from God. I can't write a book. I can't sing. I was watching a lady recently teaching some kids music in our school, in our Christian school. And all those little, I thought it was Japanese writing. I didn't know what that was. No, nothing. My wife sings. Both my boys sing, do good job with music. I can't sing a lick. If I played a radio, I'd get static. I can't write books. I can't write poetry. I'm not a good preacher. I've never been a good pastor. But you know what I did? I started a church from nothing. I've been there 51 years. You know why? I wasn't much. But I gave all the little I had to God, and he used it. I know you've never heard this before, but little is much when God is in it. And he'll get in it if you'll give him what you got.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning. God, we thank you for your word, and God, we thank you for your promises, and God, we're thankful that we see this morning that you use little things, and God, that no matter what we have, when we give it to you, you can multiply it and use it for thee. And God, I pray that you might bless the rest of our service today. God, that you might meet with us, come down in a special way, speak to each heart and life. God, I pray if there's someone that does not know you as their Savior, that they might get saved this morning, but the faithful might be encouraged and the callous and the cold-hearted might be warmed and convicted and changed by your eternal word. Thank you for Brother Chitty and his testimony and his faithful service to you. But God, I pray that you might be at the rest of our service in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be dismissed until 11 o'clock. And so thank you so much.